This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I have come to Vík in the south of Iceland, which is always a beautiful place, especially in the winter, I think, when the mountains around the town are dusted with snow, as they are today and will be for some time. And I've come to talk about coffee, because Icelanders love their coffee. It's a really important start to the day for any Icelander. They maybe don't always go for the nicest brand, and they maybe don't have an appreciation of the drink beyond its caffeinating and enlivening properties. So I'm with someone today who, I think it's fair to say, some time ago set out to change that and bring quality coffee, or the idea of quality coffee, at least to this part of Iceland. Holly Kaser. Holly, hi.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Lovely to talk to you here in your home in Vík. And tell me about your cafe, and tell me about the importance that you place on decent coffee.
Yes. Well, I own School Beans Cafe, which is an old American school bus located underneath Catla in Vík. And I opened it because I was tired of moaning to myself about there not being cute, cosy coffee shops with really good products.
And is it the case in Iceland then that people just aren't or weren't fussy about the kind of coffee they consume?
Well, I don't want to to downplay what has already been created, because sure, obviously there are some really successful cafes, but in particular outside of Reykjavík, there was a really short supply of coffee stops that weren't targeted towards mass tourism or gas stations. And what I missed most coming to Iceland from Melbourne, Australia, where I lived for 6 years, were those small cafes that you could go in and not feel guilty about sitting at a table just for a drink.
Yeah.
So often I would stop at a restaurant, and of course that's terrible business for them. I'm sat there with a cup of tea and my laptop, and there's a family of four waiting to sit down, and I'm like, oh no. So I would be drinking my tea quickly and going. So what I decided to do was stop moaning and start doing. I was a bit scared to commit to a building, because I wasn't sure how Iceland would respond to just a coffee shop outside of Reykjavík. And that's when I came across the school bus.
So it was already in the country,
yes,
the school bus.
It was from the airbase that closed down in the early 2000s. And then I think 11 of them were distributed around Iceland. There are some with the media company, some with the guiding companies. And my one, the last employment before me, was at the river rafting in Drumbo, where it would be used to transfer the boats and the customers to the river. And I bought it in 2017, early 2018. Spent 2 years renovating it. And I had a friend of mine who I think you're going to be chatting to later.
I think on the future program, yes.
Tune in for future programs. And so with, as the song goes, a little help from my friends, I was able to renovate it and open it during a massive global pandemic.
Okay, so this would have been during COVID. So you've got a school bus, which would seat about 16 people if you still had the seats in it, I think. They all came out?
All the seats came out. Yeah. So it was a little bit bigger than that. It's an 11-meter bus.
Okay.
So it's quite big. I didn't really count the chairs. That's hilarious, isn't it?
You didn't count them as you took them out?
Well, most of the chairs were taken out, and the remaining ones were so damaged.
Yes.
Right now, it has 11 seats in the bus. So that's it. It's a small, cosy interior. Really nice. We've got a log-burning stove. We've got a view of the mountains on one side and a view of the golf course on the other.
And did you just drive it around until you thought you had found the right location for it?
That was a big challenge, actually, finding the location. Yeah. Well, I lived in Kirkjubæjar Cloister before Vík, and so it was just parked outside the search and rescue, actually, where I'd renovate it. And then I bought a house on this street. This isn't my house we're in, this is my partner's house. I bought a much smaller house, and it was parked on the driveway overhanging the pavement. So that got quite a lot of attention. Thankfully, I had really good neighbours. And then I finished the renovations off at Vík Hostel at the top, because I didn't want people to see what was going on inside.
Yes.
I wanted it to be a grand reveal.
You wanted a dramatic premiere.
Yeah, but finding the location was really hard, because Vík hadn't experienced the food truck concept at that point. to the extent that I was planning on doing it. They'd had a couple of temporary, like a search and rescue vehicle that was used for soup, a fish and chip tent, essentially. But I was going in full force, food truck, and they were a little bit out of their depth. So thankfully, I had a contact at the golf club, and she said, let's do it here.
Let's do it. So, okay, yeah. So that's the location, and that's the premises sorted out. Let's talk about the coffee then, because as you said at the start, one of the driving forces was for you to bring quality coffee to this part of Iceland, maybe to Iceland more generally. So tell me about your love of coffee and what the response has been to that quality coffee.
What Iceland created was fantastic for that moment, but the times have changed over the last few years. Typically, dark roast is quite popular in Iceland, and that comes with very strong flavour, quite high acidity, and I wanted to start bringing different types of roast in. So your light, mediums and darks, mixed beans, single origins. So yeah, I ended up deciding to roast my own beans, which was quite the challenge to get the roasts in and to get the experience I needed to be able to launch with confidence.
Yes.
And I have a really strict protocol that I need to work with, which is ethical farming, fair trade, and organic. And those three things are quite hard to come by, especially for a small business like me. Huge companies can find those beans and get them sourced in, but for a small company, it's quite tricky. So I launched with a mixed bean that I get from a supplier in Iceland and one single origin bean that I was roasting, which was El Salvador. And then that one became very quickly the most popular one.
Okay.
And one of the comments I got from an Icelandic lady was, this is what coffee's supposed to taste like.
I was going to say, I can imagine that being the response. Oh, this is coffee. Okay, we've never actually had this before. So that's obviously a great sign and it's going well. We're in the dead of winter at the moment. The cafe is not open presently. When do you open?
March. So I close on the 1st December and I open as close to the 1st as March as I can get. So I have quite limited opening hours, and that's because we live in Vík and there's a huge housing shortage. So in order for me to be able to house the staff I need, I'm essentially only open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm closed Mondays and Tuesdays.
Okay. And we'll just talk a bit about your own journey then, because I'm not detecting an Australian accent. You said you came here from Melbourne, but that was one of the stops on the way here, I guess.
No, I was born in England, in the Cotswolds, really countryside. So Vík is pretty big for my...
it's big.
For where I'm from.
And not as big as Melbourne, though.
Not quite as big as Melbourne. And I was a police officer in the UK for 10 years. Decided that I obviously joined when I was super young, too young to have that level of experience of the things that police officers experience. So I decided, having looked at my colleagues who are about to retire and going, these guys all look so unhappy, I needed to make sure I did something for myself. So I took off for a year of traveling and running marathons in different countries to raise money for an air ambulance in the UK. And
there's a lot going on here, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm trying to do a condensed version. And then ended up in Australia to do my tourist working visa, and that's where I stayed for 6.5 years. I really loved the lifestyle in Melbourne. It was so nice, so fun. The weather's just exceptional, and it's seasonal, which is nice. But it was too far from the UK. So I decided to come back towards the UK, came to Iceland for a holiday, and then that's where I ended up staying.
It does happen. That's such a common story, I think, for people who come to Iceland, or maybe they come once, fall in love with the place. It's everything that they hoped it would be, and that confirms their decision to stay. And that's obviously what's happened to you as well, I think.
It was just so different from Melbourne, and it was such a removal from everything that Melbourne was that I felt this huge decompression within myself. Yeah. I didn't realise what growing up in a countryside, then moving to a huge city, how much I really needed that space again. So when I came to Iceland, it was a huge overload of everything that I didn't realise I'd missed. Coupled with the fact that I was desperate not to move back in with my parents at that time. And I got offered a job as a glacier guide. So that's where I started in Iceland.
The work as a glacier guide is not something that you do anymore, but I guess you will have seen here in Vík and other parts of Iceland, you will have seen the number of tourists increasing year on year.
Massive increase.
Yeah.
Glacier gunning was a phenomenal job and I loved it. I loved that job so much. But now I think the personal experience for me to guide would be very different. When I was guiding, there wasn't many tourists on the glacier at all. Mm. It was a Fachokul in Skaftafell. So it was one company that dominated that glacier.
Yes.
It was a small company. And then when Svina Fachokul became unavailable, all of the other guiding companies came onto the same glacier that we were on. And it just changed. It became a bit of a kind of just a different experience.
Yeah.
I think as a tourist, it's still magical and amazing. As a guide, it took away from what I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I just knew that I wanted to start a cafe. So that was ultimately why I left.
Right. So, I mean, if you'd set out with a plan, if in the Cotswolds you thought to yourself, I want to open a cafe in an old school bus on the south coast of Iceland, that would have been a strange thing to aim for, but it's where you ended up.
My parents, can you imagine as a daughter going, hiya, I'm going to leave a really perfectly great career, go travelling and start off in Russia, end up living in China, move to Australia, and then I'll leave there, come to Iceland and do this. I'm the worst daughter ever. but no, I didn't in a million years ever think that I would firstly leave the police. I was taking a career break. And I would never have thought I'm going to be a food truck owner under a giant volcano.
Holly, thanks very much indeed. The cafe, hard to miss here in Vik. It reopens in March, I think you said. Best of luck with that. And going from strength to strength.
Thank you so much for your time.
Holly, thanks very much. It's Ruv English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. You can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Ruv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Ruv English Radio is daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Ruv.